This show is sponsored by the Crummy Cookie Dough Company, top-notch humans making top-notch edible cookie dough. Welcome to I Am Everything, with your host, Cheyenne A-Town.
Welcome to I'm Everything. I'm your host, Cheyenne A-Town, and I'm here with my sponsors. I've talked about these two individuals quite a few times. I mean, over the course of 40-plus episodes since October, and I talked about how great the product is, but I'll let them talk about it as themselves and about other current events. So, state your name, what you do, and I guess what your favorite color is.
I'm Jennifer Appleby Vines. I'm one of the co-owners of the Crummy Cookie Dough Company, and my favorite color is purple.
Yeah, purple. I like lavender.
Same continuum.
Yeah. I found it out when I was not too long ago. I was like, I like purple, and I saw lavender. I was like, I like lavender now. I'm sure there's a more artiste name for it, lavender. Yeah. I'm kind of messing up. But yeah, so you've been my sponsor for a while, and you guys started when the pandemic started, which is crazy because you're still going. I think it has to do with a couple of reasons. I mean, you guys just being great people, mainly. But secondary, I mean, cookies, like who?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So talk to us about what made you guys start this venture, and how have you been progressing with this?
So we started, I'm going to say it was 3.5 years ago now. Sarah and I were friends. First, we met in the restaurant business. We worked in restaurants locally together for quite a long time. And then she was at my house, we were having a glass of wine, and she went in the fridge and opened it up, and I had a tube of cookie dough in there, as you do, with like, that clearly it had been eaten.
Right.
Or you could tell somebody had been gnawing on it, not just baking it into cookies with a nice, you know, cut.
Yeah.
So my daughter and I had been kind of gnawing on it.
Yeah.
And so she just was like, do you eat this stuff? I'm like, you don't? Like, And then she looked at the ingredients and she looked at the best before date on it. And she was like, I don't think you should be eating this stuff. So it kind of just led to a conversation. She's kind of the creative force behind everything. So it kind of just led to this, like, I'll be really, like, if I had my own cookie company or cookie dough company, these are like the really cool flavors I would have, and I'd name them this and whatever. And it just, like, we were still texting about it later that night. We were still texting about it later the same day. And, you know, it was kind of like at some point the next day we were like, are we doing this? Like, I think we're doing this. So we kind of took a bit of time and did some research. Mm. At the beginning, it was just going to be cookie dough. Like, it wasn't meant to be edible in the early days. We just thought it would be, like, at that time in Canada, you could only buy Pillsbury chocolate chip, and that was it.
It's fair,
So knowing that convenience foods are not going to go away, you know, all of that, we were like, it'd be cool to have a really great cookie dough that's bakeable, that's convenient, but great flavors, great ingredients. Mm. And then we did some research and realized that edible cookie dough was a huge trend in the States at that point. It had been around for about a year. We already had a trip planned in New York City that coming January. Mm. We'd been a couple of times and we love it there.
Yeah.
So we kind of decided to just kind of do some research and went to at least 3 different places that we could find in New York that were serving edible cookie dough.
Yeah.
And then of course we checked our own area as well. And and then we decided to do, we did a food truck first. We kind of treated it that first summer as like market research.
Right.
And just kind of traveled all over Southwest Ontario. We were gone every weekend, just like getting people's thoughts on the flavors and the price points and all of that kind of stuff. We learned a ton about who our demographic was and, you know, what people are willing to pay and all of that. And then we started wholesaling that fall. So like a year after we had the idea. Eco Cafe in St. Jacobs was our first retailer that sold it for us.
Yeah.
And then it took off from there, and we just kind of started getting bigger and bigger customers and kind of realized we were renting a kitchen, and it was kind of the point where we're like, okay, we can't rent anymore, we need our own space. So we started looking that fall or early winter, and it took a long, long time to find the right space. There's a lot of bylaws and and all of that kind of stuff. And so we didn't find the place where we are now, which is 8 Regina Street North in Uptown, which is has been awesome for us. We didn't find it until like it took probably a good 8 or 9 months to find the right spot. And then we didn't, with all the city stuff and whatever, we didn't end up moving in until March 2020. Literally moved in, had planned a grand opening on the 15th of March that we canceled the night before. And that was crazy because we're like, now we have all this rent to pay. Our wholesale customers dried up overnight. Like we were delivering to universities and restaurants and movie theaters and all of that stuff dried up. So it was like, okay, well, we got rent to pay. What do we do now? So quickly pivoted to just doing retail. Had never been like a kind of main part of our business plan, but all of a sudden we're doing Uber and Skip and and whatever it takes.
Right.
So
stay flow, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it really, honestly, the community has been really awesome. When we kind of sat down and looked at the pros and cons of starting this business in KW, like starting the business, one of the pros was that KW is, and Waterloo Region in general, is a very supportive area for small businesses, as well as specifically, like, we come from restaurants, so knowing how supportive they are of small local food businesses. So people love something new and interesting, and you know, I'm sure other communities aren't, they'll be like, oh, that's weird, I don't, you know, whatever, but people in KW are like, let me try it, right? So, and that proved itself over this past year, just people really supporting us and coming out, and it's been awesome.
And I think raw cookie dough is like, when you guys first started, it wasn't really a thing for like major companies like Pillsbury. Like now I see it at stores now, it's like, oh, you can eat it. And it's like, you guys were there before they were there. And also there was like another company here that wasn't even around when you were around. So, and I do feel like those two companies, I haven't said the other one, but those two companies in particular, they don't really do like healthy ingredients you can recognize and respect. It's like, oh, these are healthy ingredients, air quote, right?
Right, right.
Versus you guys, it's like, no, this is healthy ingredients you recognize and respect.
Yeah.
So why'd you, like, was it hard to kind of go that route of, like, the healthy?
No, it wasn't hard. It was a bit of a discussion at first because we were like, again, that was like the very first conversation was like, maybe you shouldn't be eating this, look at the ingredients.
Right.
And so that kind of blossomed from that conversation. And we kind of went back and forth quite a bit, like, do we go all organic?
Right.
Do we go all fair trade? Do we go, you know, and kind of having that conversation. And in the end, it just came back to what we believe, which is just using the same ingredients that you would use in your kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, if you were making cookies at home and cookie dough, now there are two ingredients we have to use that are slightly different.
Right, right.
We have to use a heat-treated flour, which you didn't normally have in your kitchen, but it doesn't affect the taste. It's literally just the flour's been like baked to a certain degree to make sure everything that might be in there that might make you sick is gone.
Yeah.
And same with the eggs. The eggs are pasteurized. So they're slightly different, but there's no difference in terms of their, you know, their awesomeness in terms of you consuming them. So for us, it just, we sort of went around circle on that a lot and just came back to, no, we just want it to be like, just what you would recognize, you know? And that's not necessarily say, like, sometimes there's ingredients you're like, I can't pronounce that.
Right,
it's not even about that.
Yeah.
That's okay. Yeah. But, you know, is it something, an ingredient that you would have in your kitchen? Then that's
right.
Fine, right. So, we took a real slow approach and we're okay with that. There's been other companies that have, you know, when we had this idea, there was only one other company that we could find that was out west doing this in Canada. We knew that other people might come in and, I mean, it's a trend, right?
Of course
people are
doing
that. We don't have a patent on edible cookie dough. But we also took a slow and purposeful approach to our growth, kind of bootstrapping it, very organic.
Yeah.
And we're totally fine with that. You know, we want it to be the right growth, the right pace. And the right kind of customers and all of that. And we think we're achieving that.
And how has like COVID been treating you guys? Were you guys almost like, okay, we gotta change something up? Or were you like, okay, this is going on?
It was a bit scary for a couple weeks. You know, canceled the grand opening. We didn't have an online shop. It had been a wish list kind of a thing, right?
Yeah.
But certainly not something we'd prioritized to that point. And I think everybody, the whole world, was kind of like, just like, oh my God, what's happening for a couple of weeks, you know? And everybody remembered the days when we all thought, oh, we'll be back to normal in 2 weeks. But by the end of March, the beginning of April, that became obvious that wasn't going to happen. And I think that's when people really started to go be like, well, I guess if we're stuck here, we're going to start supporting these local businesses, right? A lot of takeout and all of that kind of stuff. So that's when we saw things really ramp up. April was nuts. It was just crazy busy. Great. I mean, good. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Same with May. We finally got our online store up in July. So, I mean, it was just Sarah and I, because at that point, too, you remember in the early days of the pandemic, there wasn't as much info about how it was spreading,
right.
You know, that kind of
stuff.
We didn't feel comfortable bringing staff in at that point. We could have with the level of business we had, but we were just like, it's just us here all day, every day, all the time, because that's just what we have to do, you know? Don't look a gift horse in the mouth and just enjoy it, and we'll figure it out down the road. And that's kind of what we did. So it was like, in some ways, the pandemic was good to us in the early days. In that people were sitting home ordering takeout, you know, or I often say people are sitting home eating their feelings, you know, like ordering dessert. We heard that from our friends, like at Four All Ice Cream and Lady Glazed Donuts and stuff like that, and other local dessert places. And then things kind of have, obviously, just like everybody, have started to kind of be a more normal kind of a level, and that's great. And we got the doors open in July as well, and that's been awesome. And because we're just takeout food, we've been able to keep our doors open throughout the whole thing. So that's been, like, once we got them open, so that's been a blessing too. We have voluntarily, like, curved back our hours when there's been lockdowns and stuff, just because we're like, we want to do the right thing and encourage people to stay home, where we could have just stayed open till midnight, but we were like, no, we feel like, I mean, just kind of encourage people to stay home, right? But it's been nice to kind of get back to quote unquote normal-ish, right? And what that is. So.
Yeah, I am going to touch on the small business issues that were happening in Ontario. But tell us where the name came from, because saying the name, I always mess up on the name.
You're
just
not the
only
one.
Just because it's the abbreviation, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So where did it come from?
So it really, we honestly, I wish I remembered the whole conversation. It was, we played with a lot of different names. We wanted something that kind of indicated, like, we like to think we have a little bit of smartassness to our brand a little bit. If you look at our website, there's a lot of, like, cheeky things going on. And so, and personally, I liked the idea of alliteration. I always, I like that a lot.
Yeah.
And we knew it was Cookie Dough Company.
Right.
So we're looking for probably something, once we kind of narrowed that down, we're looking for something that started with C.
Yeah.
And we're just literally Googling, like, you know, words that start with C and kind of seeing what fit. When I came across Crummy, I liked, I pitched it to Sarah and I liked that it was, like, crumb in terms of C-R-U-M-B.
Yeah.
You could get crumbs from cookies, right? Yeah. But although there's a couple of different ways to spell it, crummy also is a bit, it can mean bad in the sense of, like, oh, isn't this crummy?
Yeah.
But, I mean, not that we want people to think our cookie dough is bad, but it was just kind of like that irony, like, and we will often say, like, you know, we'll call something crummy when it's really not, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So just kind of approaching with that kind of irreverent, you know, like, oh, we're crummy, but we're not, you know?
Yeah.
And then just the double meaning with the crumbs and stuff. It, I mean, you know, people call us crumbly. It definitely happens. Or people think it's crumby. And that, whatever, that's fine. I don't worry about it too much. Like, I can remember growing up as a kid and calling, like, in our, I don't know if this was just my generation or just my city, but, like, we used to call Nike Nike, like, when I was a kid, and it wasn't until I was older that I realized, oh, that's actually how you pronounce it. I think it matters more. I mean, obviously, you want people to know your name, but I can tell just by the way people search us and end up on our website. Like, they find us, you know?
Right,
And that's cool. Like, I think as long as the brand is representative of what we are, then,
as long as the marketing is memorable, then they...
Yeah, exactly. So,
So, because this is your show, you know, I'm hosting it. I'm just, you know, I'm in the ship, but you're driving the ship. So... what would you like the first song to be?
I'm gonna go with I Love the Dough by Notorious B.I.G. I mean, obvious, I think. we sort of have two vibes going on in our shop and our food truck and on our website. We have a kind of a mid-century modern 60s vibe with our decor and that kind of thing, but we also play a lot of music and had a lot of references to 90s hip-hop, 80s and 90s hip-hop, so, and I Love the Dough, you know, I mean, it's written for us. So.
Self-explanatory.
We push the hottest beats, peel fast, through the city, play Monopoly with real cash, me and Biggie and the models be, shaking Ace and Diddy ass and Parada B, something you cats got to see, and the watches be, all types of shapes and stones, being broke is childish and I'm quite grown, run up in a club with the ice on, me and Pies on, scope the spot out, see something nice and I'm gone. You cats is home, screaming the fights on. I'm in the 1500 seats, watching Tyson. Same night, same fight, but one of us cats ain't playing right. I let you tell it. People, place yourselves in the shoes of two felons and tell me you won't fall every chance you get. At any chance you hit, we live for the moment. Makes sense, don't it? Now make dollars. Cats pop bottles, bone chicks that favor our dollars and rack up frequent flight mileage.
gotta let it show.
Magnums, why jigger bag something? Watch platinum, got jet lag from flights back and forth, pop corks are the best grapes, make the best CDs and the best tapes. Don't forget the vinyl. Take girls, break spinals. Biggie B, Richie like Lionel. Shit, you seen the Jesus, dip the H classes, ice project off lights, chick flashes, blind and broke asses. Even got rocks in the beard, mustaches, rock top fashions. Ain't shit changed, except the number after the dot on the range. Way niggas look at me now, kinda strange. I hate y'all too, rather be in Caribbean sands with Rachel. It's unreal, out the blue, Frank White got sex appeal. Bitches used to go ill, still toe still. Trying to see 5 mil off the single, for real. You ain't phasing the amazing, while your gun's raising, mine is blazing. See you on, see me on, talking to sweetness. Take it for weakness, leak quick. Rocka, rocka, fella, bad boy, collabo. Two MCs with mad goals, you're long.
I love you, more than you know. Gotta let it show.
Laws, pockets stay full, niggas skip the ball cause we mad at doors. Snatch the P89s that we pack in the drawers, and we clap the doors of your Acuras. Snap like cameras on amateurs, make you all dance, hold a hammer to yours. Jigging big rock ice, no cracks and flaws. Everybody got a part to play, back to yours. Run up in your crib now, crack your doors. Watch the real players live, it's a habit to floss. Play the charts like the Beatles, y'all adapt the loss. And toast Chris Style on behalf of y'all. Too bad for y'all, ain't too many as bad as yours. Truly do we keep laughing y'all, little bastard y'all.
We hit makers with acres, roll shakers in Vegas. You can't break us, lost chips on Lakers. Gassed off Shaq, country house, tennis courts and horseback. Ride and decide and crack crab or lobster. Who say monsters don't prosper? Niggas is actors, niggas deserve Oscars. Me, I'm critically acclaimed. Slug past your brain, reminisce on dames who coochie used to stink when we rock house pieces and puffy Gucci links. Now we buy homes in unfamiliar places. Tito smile every time we see our faces. Cases catch more than outfield doors. Half these rapping cats ain't seen war. Couldn't score if they had point game. They lame, speak my name, I make them dash like Dame. Love the dog.
More than you know.
Gonna let it show.
Gotta let it show. I love the dough. Hey, I love the dough. More than you know.
Gonna let it show.
Gotta let it show. I love the dough. Hey, I love the dough. More than you know. Gotta let it show.
Alright, we're back, and that was I Love the Dough, and I mean, it couldn't get any more hip-hop, it couldn't get any more 90s than this,
yeah,
right? I mean,
yeah.
I was born in 1990, you know, I'm a 90s kid, right? But I kind of forget some of it, but, I mean, I wish it was the 90s all over again,
yeah.
You know? So, you know, as we're talking about your company, they're, for a lot of Ontario, their businesses were closed, right? I mean, if they weren't essential, they were closed. And there was this fine line between, like, okay, I understand where they're coming from, right? Like, you could see, like, okay, you know, the government doesn't have their best interests at heart, right? And it's very easy for you to go on the train of, like, conspiracy, suspicion, because you're like, well, wait a minute, you know, Ford is doing this, blah, 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 but then he's not respecting businesses. And it's very easy, like, you... Like we've seen another business in Ontario, the barbecue one, you know, it was like, I understood it, but it was attracting the wrong vibes. So what were you guys' thoughts? I know you guys were open, but were you like, how did you guys feel on that? Because I know it was a very, very, very thin line of being like, like conspiracy or, you know, not, you know.
I think we felt different things at different times.
Right.
I mean, I think in the beginning, as everybody, I think, for the most part was. I mean, yes, there was people that were upset right from the beginning of things being closed down. But for the most part, I'm going to say, like, the majority of the population was like, this is what we have to do, and that's just what we have to do. And you understood it, and you understood that, you know, the people in our governments had never faced it. Like, this was 100 years ago that anybody faced anything like this, so they're flying by the seat of their pants too. And I think there was a lot of understanding and leeway given, you know, because you're like, I guess this is what we all have to do. I think what happened as things progressed, then, you know, you can't help but question, you know, some of the decisions, and I'm not the one making decisions, so I try not to go, you know, crazy, but I, in terms of judging those.
Yeah.
But at the same time, sometimes you see things and you're like, okay, that just doesn't make, that's not logical, you know? So, like, my husband runs a restaurant, and obviously, you know, for both of us, we're close to the restaurant, and so we know a lot of people in it still. And the flip-flopping that happened earlier this year with the change, you know, like, one minute so they were allowed 10 people inside. Literally 2 weeks later, they were allowed 50 people. Yeah. And then, like, a week and a half later, they shut them down. Like, it was just, like, it was like, make up your mind, you know? So you see that. I mean, I think, you know, for us, it was always like every time we just kind of looked at it and went, what's the right, what feels like the right thing to do?
Yeah.
You know, for, like I said, for us, we're takeout. So technically, just like any pizza joint or whatever. Is cookie dough essential? No, but, like, I'm sure the government doesn't want to get into, like, well, this kind of food's essential and that's not. You know, it's just, obviously, it's too complicated. So, yeah, we just tried to look at it and went, what's the right thing to do? What feels right to us? And obviously following all the laws and all of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, definitely not one for conspiracy theories. Is there frustration with the government along the way? Sure.
Yeah.
At the same time, you're like, I wouldn't want to be in their shoes, you know, I couldn't pay me enough to, really truly, like, I couldn't pay me enough to be making those decisions on behalf of everybody.
Right.
I do feel for the, you know, the restaurants and the hair salons and the, you know, and all of the gyms and stuff like that, because I think there's not a lot of evidence to suggest that that's how COVID is spreading.
Yeah.
And so I feel for them, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're taking the brunt of it. They've been targeted and, and that just feels wrong somehow.
Yeah.
But, you know, all we can do is hope we can get there, get them open as soon as we can, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yes, restaurants have patios now, but that's, for a lot of them, that's still just a fraction of their revenue. And if the weather sucks, then, you know, there goes the day. So, yeah. I mean, for us, it was just kind of a, all along the way, when a different decision came down or a different phase or whatever, orange, red, yellow, whatever it is, gray.
Right.
We just kind of looked at each other and went, what feels right?
Right.
You know, what feels right for us? What feels right for the community?
Yeah, yeah.
We can't, we're not in a position to close, you know, but we need to make some revenue, but we also want to respect the spirit of what they're trying to do here, right?
So, yeah. My, my business, the business I used to work at, the bar, it closed down, like, the first wave that happened.
Yeah.
And it was really shitty, obviously, but, like, you know, I have a lot of friends in Toronto, you know, I live in Toronto, and I have a lot of friends that run restaurants, or, like, they're promoters, or they have, and, you know, I could see their frustration, but then, like, where they lose me, it's, like, you know, they think that the government has this master plan to ruin their life.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, I don't think the government knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
Right? They're not that
smart.
I don't think
it's a master plan.
They're not that smart.
They're just people like you and me, right? Like, I don't. And, like, that argument never flew with me either, because I'm like, it's not in their best interest. Just, like, the businesses pay taxes and create jobs. And, you know, like, it is absolutely not in their best interest to screw over businesses, right?
Yeah.
I truly, I agree with you. I think they just, they're flying by the seat of their pants as much as, and, you know, a guy like Ford, who I'm not, you know, I'm not a Ford fan, but, like, he's got his scientists telling him one thing, he's got his economic advisors telling him another, and he's got to decide at the end of the day which way he goes and where the balance is. And that's... I can't imagine. Not an easy thing to figure out, right?
I will say this, that Ford was elected from a lot of business owners because he promised less taxes for them, right?
Yep.
And they didn't do their research, and that's kind of their fault. And now he's in power, and now they're like, we're never going to, you know, we don't like him anymore. It's like, well, you should never trust someone who's on that side. But I'm just saying, they never come out honest. They kind of say a little, you know, but
it is interesting to me that, like, he's the pro business guy who ran a business.
Yeah.
And yet some of the decisions you're like, again, from a restaurant perspective, because I just know it intimately, like, how can you say you ran a business and then, like, literally announce on a Friday night at 9 o'clock that restaurants can be open tomorrow? Like, do you not understand how inventory and staffing works? You know, like, how? Like,
or
how does any business pivot in 12 hours, you know?
Or even like, yeah, you guys can stay, this bar can stay open, but only till 8 p.m. It's like, you don't make most of your money that way. So,
Yeah.
I mean, it's good that hopefully this is, you know, as everyone gets vaccinated, hopefully this is all dying down, and eventually we could just look at it and be like, you know, we learn from it, right? But then you also see the people who are still kind of finding the, what do you call it, like shoelace, putting it to one event and everything's connected, everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, in terms of the future, what do you guys have in store, and what do you guys, like, is there any big plans of what's going on? Like, any,
drop some... We're mostly focused right now on rebuilding wholesale, and it has come back, like, the local stuff, a lot of it has come back.
Yeah.
Some of our customers are still closed or not sort of at full capacity, but we are looking at expanding in a big way into grocery stores.
Right.
So, we've signed up with a couple of distributors, which are people who take our product and... they do the delivering and the, you know, to the bigger accounts.
Yeah.
So that's how we are expanding right now, looking for what you call a co-packer, which is somebody who we give our recipe to, and they actually make like 10,000 pints of our one flavor or whatever, and then so that we can then sell it to larger
right.
customers. So because we have, you know, we're sitting in our
right.
kitchen,
of course.
Yeah. Our little 750 square foot shop. Yes, we have a couple of decent sized mixers, but you know, we're not going to crank 10,000 pints out of here every week or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of been for us the avenue we're exploring.
Yeah.
So we're lucky enough to be part of a an accelerator in Guelph called Innovation Guelph, and they help small businesses. So we had a mentor that we just like could meet with 2 hours a month to kind of bounce ideas off of, and then we've graduated to another level of the program where it's for women-owned businesses, and once you get to a certain level of sales, we have now new projects we're working on, and they're helping us basically what are the things that you need to address to help you scale, and then they assign you to like an expert in each of those fields to help you scale. So somebody helping us with finances and, you know, and all of that. I mean, we kind of knows, but I don't know all the ins and outs of that. Somebody helping us find a co-packer, all of that kind of stuff. So that's pretty cool. So that's, you know, and then like at the store level, we're always cooking up something fun. You know, we just launched our summer six pack with six summer flavors.
Nice.
Which is like pretty awesome. Like I said to Sarah the other day, I think she's a wizard because she comes up with like, she's the chef kind of piece of this. And she comes up with a lot of the flavors. And, you know, how do you, like when she said, I like to do a creamsicle flavor. I'm like, how do you make cookie dough taste like creamsicle?
It's
but,
true. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And it tastes just like creamsicle, right?
Yeah. I saw a TikTok. Some guy mixed heavy cream with orange soda.
Yeah.
It tastes like creamsicle.
Yeah.
I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. So, yeah. So we've got that right now. So that's pretty cool. And then we're always like, I mean, I'm anxious for the world to kind of get back to normal in the sense of, you know, we love doing events. It's how we started with our food trailer, whether it's weddings or corporate events and all of that kind of stuff. And it'd be great to get back to that.
Yeah.
But we've got a few staff working for us now, and things are ticking along.
Do you think eventually you guys will want to like take it on the road, like to festivals and stuff? Like maybe like,
Toronto. Yeah. Like that's what we did at the very beginning. And then it depends on the festival.
Right.
We learned pretty quickly that festivals can be, they're fun.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
And we love doing events, but they can be also dicey because you have to pay a hefty fee and there's no guarantee of sales.
Right.
So the second summer we did events, we were a lot pickier. Like the first summer we were just like, let's just sign up. We wanted to be somewhere every weekend.
Right.
We didn't really worry about it. The second summer we were a little bit pickier about you know, if like you think about, we're spending 12-hour days, you know, like the if we went away where we had to pay to stay at a hotel, you know, like, is the sales worth it,
right? True.
It does expose you to a new audience, and that's great, but unless you have a way of getting it to them after that, it's not, it doesn't really help in the end, right? So, I definitely would. We did the Dundas West Fest, which was cool. That was a good one. But there's also more costs that coming with being in Toronto as well. Like even at an Airbnb or parking, like that wasn't somewhere like, oh my God, the amount we paid in parking that weekend, you know, like, so yeah, I mean, there's definitely some local festivals that we miss a lot because they're just, you know, we find like Buskers is a good one. There's the King Street, there's a day in June where they do it for Big Brothers and they shut down King Street in downtown Kitchener and it's all just food trucks. Like it's a food truck festival. That was a good one for us. There's lots of cool ones like that where it's like, you know, we see our fans and, you know, and it's nice to be in the area and we know that the sales are going to be good. So it's worth paying the fee.
Right.
So yeah, we'll just, I mean, we definitely love it. We miss it. It would definitely be something. And we've hired some staff with the intention of them getting them involved in those kind of things when they come back. So yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Is there anything that you wish you guys did differently in terms of like the marketing of the product or even the taste of the product or something where you maybe held off on it and then you found out, oh, like actually this worked, but we could have done this?
I don't think so. Like, I think, you know, funny, like early on it was interesting, like to have like there be flavors we would launch, like we had like 6 original flavors and one of them it never sold very well and we thought it was going to be one of our best sellers. It was like a triple chocolate flavor, like it was chocolate dough with 2 different kinds of chocolate chips in it, and I'm a big chocolate fan, so I was like, this is gonna rock. But I don't know if people would just be like, oh, that's too much chocolate for me, you know. So there's been things like that where we're like, we're convinced it's going to be great, you know, and then like people like it and they, you know, when they have it they like it, but like it just didn't fly off the shelf. So there's been some of that. There's been some flavors where we had it and people loved it, but it ended up not, because for us it's always not about edible cookie dough, it's about baking it as well. From day one we wanted, hey, we find it differentiates us. There's other edible cookie dough companies out there that you can't bake it. If you tried it, it just doesn't work. It just like goes into a mush on the, you know. And for us, people are always like, oh, that's really cool that you can also bake it, right? They think it's neat. So we have pulled flavors off that tasted great but didn't bake well. You're like, we can't, like, we tell people it's bakeable, you know, and we're sad because it's a great flavor, but you know, if it doesn't bake, it doesn't bake, right? So there's been kind of things like that. But for the most part, you know, I think we've done a pretty good job of just keeping it interesting, and we always have lots. Right now we have 17 flavors, which is nuts. So we're approaching Baskin Robbins territory, but you know, we love keeping it interesting, and we know that's one of the reasons people come to us, because they can get something really different. You know, it's not just your basic chocolate chip, or we have chocolate chip, of course. You know, it's called obligatory chocolate chip because you can't have a cookie dough company without having it. And we have a birthday cake flavor if that's what you're looking for. But we also have a chocolate cherry cheesecake, and we also have a creamsicle flavor, and we also have, you know, a apple pie flavor in the fall. You know, that kind of stuff, right? So. And people come to us because, you know, people walk in and they're like, what's new? What's different? You know, and they want to try the latest. So,
What flavor surprised you that it took off?
What flavor surprised me that took off? Actually, right now, I would say, so we have 6 summer flavors. The most popular is, unsurprising, it's a s'mores flavor. Right. It's very traditional, you know, and that's cool. It's delicious. But second on that list, that it seems to be the second most popular, is what we call Blueberry More, and it's a lemon blueberry flavor. And I thought it would be popular, but it's turning out like I didn't. It's turning out to be a lot more popular than I anticipated, which is great. Like it's really good. Like it's got that, Sarah makes a lemon curd in it. It's got like that tangy tanginess to it. It's delicious. Just like very summery, you know, and that's probably why. But yeah, it's turning out to be quite popular, so.
Nice, I gotta try that.
Yeah.
So, second song, what should I choose?
Second song, we're gonna go with I Like It Raw by Old Dirty Bastard.
I see what you're doing there. Ooh, baby, I like it raw. Yeah, baby, I like it raw. Ooh, baby, I like it raw. Yeah, baby, I like it raw. Shimmy, shimmy, y'all, shimmy, yam, shimmy, yeah. Give me the mic so I can take it away. Off on the natural charge, bone for yard. Yeah, from the home of the Dodger Brooklyn squad. Wu-Tang killer, bees on the swarm. Rain on your college ass disco dorm. For you to even touch my skill, you gotta go to one killer bee, and he ain't for the kill now. Chop that down, pass it all around. Lyrics get hard, quick cement to the ground. For an EMC in any 52 states, I get psycho killer, Norman Bain. My producer slam, my flow is like bam. Jump on stage, I've been a dip down. Ooh, baby, I like it raw. Yeah, baby, I like it raw. Ooh, baby, I like it raw. Yeah, baby, I like it raw. Ooh, baby, I like it raw. Yeah, baby, I like it raw. Ooh, baby, I like it raw. Yeah, baby, I like it raw. Yes, nigga, yes, you see the feeling in this man. Well, the can be still hard. It's a root. Well, we're more sad. Well, that's my plan. Well, you know, yeah, you know, 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 you know
and I'll beat your ass. For the ladies who know me, tell them who the fuck I be. For the niggas who know me, tell them who the fuck I be. My style comes down on you like rock.
Sitting on the dock of the
by the dock. By the block. By the break, by the block. Got East Coast locked down, padlock. My zoo niggas be all down by the flock. Flock. Ooh, baby, I like it, bro. Yeah, baby, I like it, bro. Ooh, baby, I like it, bro. Yeah, baby, I like it, bro. Ooh, baby, I like it, bro. Yeah, baby, I like it, bro. Shimmy y'all, shimmy yam, shimmy yeah. Give me the mic so I can take it away. Off on the natural Charles Bon Voyage. Yeah, from the home of the Dodgers, Brooklyn squad. Wu-Tang killer, bees on the swarm. Rain on your college ass disco dorm. For you to even touch my skill, you gotta vote the one killer bee. And he ain't for the kill now. Chop that down, pass it all around. Lyrics get hard, put cement to the ground. For an EMC in any 52 states, I get psycho killer Norman Bain. My producer slam, my flow is like bam. Jump on stage and then I dip down. Yo, y'all know the lyrics. Come on, sing with me.
Ooh, baby, I like it, bro. Yeah, baby, I like it, bro. Ooh, baby, I like it, bro. Yeah, baby, I like it, bro. Baby, I like it, bro. Yeah, baby, I like it, bro. Ooh, baby, I like it, bro. Yeah, baby, I like it, bro.
Shimmy, shimmy, y'all, shimmy, yeah, shimmy, yeah. Give me the mic so I can take it away.
Oh, fuck you, can't even sing. Yeah, just sing or something to get some pussy.
This show is sponsored by the Crummy Cookie Dough Company, top-notch humans making top-notch edible cookie dough. If you haven't already, you really need to check out the Crummy Cookie Dough Company. They make their cookie dough with all the best stuff, responsible ingredients you recognize and respect, so you can feel great about treating your family or yourself. Of course, you can take the cookie dough home and bake up a killer cookie without even lifting a finger. That's a no-brainer. But the best part? You can eat it just the way it is. Yep, the Crummy Cookie Dough Company makes cookie dough that is 100% safe to eat, no baking required. Like when you're making cookies at home and you lick the spoon, or sneak a little taste from the bowl. Except Crummy does it completely risk-free, so no one's telling you not to eat the cookie dough. You can visit the Crummy Cookie Dough Company at their store in Uptown Waterloo. Check them out on Instagram and Facebook at The Crummy Cookie Dough Co. or visit them online at thecrummycookiedoughco.com. That's crummy spelled C-R-U-M-B-Y. You can also order for delivery through Uber Eats, Skip the Dishes, DoorDash, or through their website. Like I said before, if you haven't tried this stuff, you definitely should. It is super tasty. And they have lots of interesting flavors, which all happen to have interesting names, like Rainbow Pony Show, or their peanut butter flavor, Material Squirrel. Also, their vibe is like a weirdo mashup of 1960s vintage and 90s hip-hop, which makes no sense, but in a good way. The Crummy Cookie Dough Company. Eat it just the way it is, or bake it into a kick-ass cookie, if it even makes it to the oven at all. This show is made possible by the Crummy Cookie Dough Company. They say we should eat more raw foods, and cookie dough counts. Check them out in Uptown Waterloo or on the web at thecrummycookiedoughco.com.
And we're back, and I like a raw. That's a jam right there. R.I.P.O.D.B.
Yep.
Were you able to watch the Were you able to watch the TV show on him or
no? I didn't even know there was one.
Yeah, there's a TV show on. Pretty sure it's on FX about Wu-Tang Clan and all of them, but it's like cool. It's like a really well done.
Yeah. I watched. It's on Netflix and it's by a Canadian guy called Shad. He used to host Q on CBC. Yeah. He did Hip Hop Evolution.
Yeah.
And it was like it was like four seasons. Right. It started with like the early days of hip hop, and he had so much access to like all like Grandmaster Flash and
really?
Like the it was crazy.
Yeah.
I actually heard him list, before I watched it, I heard him interviewed about it, and like they were just like, how did you get access? And he's like, you know what, it was one of those things where like, you get one guy, and then open, you're like, oh, well, Grandmaster Flash is interviewed with us, so like somebody else, like, he interviewed Snoop Dogg, like,
right.
I mean, you name it,
yeah.
He interviewed them.
Yeah.
It was pretty awesome, like, just to see, like, the evolution of
right.
how it kind of morphed from disco and funk, and you know, and how that happened in New York, and how that just kind of played out through, you know, when he goes to East Coast and West Coast and Atlanta, you know, and all of that kind of stuff. It's really, really cool. That, and there's a, I would also recommend, if you're interested, there's a Netflix show called The Get Down.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, it's really awesome.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it ended up only being two seasons, but it's that same kind of thing, but in a fictional way, like late 70s, early 80s in New York, and kind of how the hip hop scene started. It was very, very cool.
So we were talking about conspiracy theories. Do you think Tupac is still alive?
I don't think so. I feel like I am so not a conspiracy theorist in any way, shape, or form. I feel like people who believe in conspiracy theories in general, I'm like, do you know how many people would have to conspire and be all on the same page and never let that secret out? Like, that's just not realistic.
Yeah, there's, well, yeah, so I don't exactly believe he's alive, but there's this thought that I was having the other day, and so the only place you can fake your death is Las Vegas, right?
Right.
Which is, you know, but there's this thought I had in my head is like, there's at least one person that everyone knows that's passed away that's still alive, right? Because it's like, the way I look at it is, there's an article I read about this officer, this CIA agent, and he was talking about people who, like celebrities who have changed their identity, right? He's like, yeah, we have a whole list of...
Right.
Because there's this, because the rapper 6ix9ine was going to change his identity at one point. He's like, yeah, there's like a long list of all these like people, like celebrities have
like
done
in the witness protection
program. Yeah, he's like, I've like helped them change their life, and I was like, it's like, think about it, it's like, who would be alive now?
Yeah.
Or like who would it be, right? And that would be very interesting to just look at the list and be like, okay.
I mean, the only way it's possible is if like literally like only maybe one person knew, you know?
Yeah.
Like, because if you tell anybody, they're gonna spill the beans at some point. Like, people,
right.
Humans are not good
true.
At keeping
especially
secrets.
Especially with the cameras and stuff.
Yeah.
There's actually a rapper who sounds exactly like him. I forget what his name is. He's not popular, but he lives in, like, somewhere in Jamaica, or somewhere like very obscure.
Yeah.
And he sounds exactly like him, and I forget what his name is, but why they tie that together is because on one of Tupac's songs, he says like, he's gonna come back from the dead with this name, right?
Right.
And so they're taking this guy's name, and he sounds like him, and he, I don't know what he looks like, but they're like, oh, it could be him, right?
Yeah.
But then also in the same song, Tupac says, I'm gonna come back in like 2019 or something like
right,
that,
right.
And he obviously isn't back.
Yeah.
Right? But I was like, imagine like an award show, right? You're watching just someone like that comes out, you're like, okay then. But then you would be like, what's real now? Like, everything's
alive. I feel like if you believe that, you must believe Biggie's still alive.
Yes,
you know,
true.
Like,
yeah,
it's
or
all
Michael
tied
Jackson's
together, right?
Alive.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right. There's that video where they pulled out, ambulance stopped, and then Michael Jackson ran out.
Right,
like,
right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, so, you know.
I feel like just people being nostalgic. They just don't want it to be true.
Yeah. They kind of want to live it in those days. But, I mean, imagine what Tupac would think of the rap music now. And, you know, the 90s back then, I don't know if I was listening to a lot of rap. I was definitely listening to, like, more rock and, like, that kind of era music. But I did appreciate, like, you know, I did appreciate some good Tupac and Biggie, right?
Yeah.
Not until I got older, right?
Yeah. That's like me too. Like, I was definitely like a top 40 girl. Like, I always gravitated towards like R&B and that, like that kind of those genres. But hip hop, it was very surface. It was very like what's on the chart, you know, and then I listened to it. But yeah, as I've gotten older and just kind of seeing these kind of shows and appreciating how it came to be. And, you know, it was interesting watching in this hip hop evolution, watching some of the rappers, you know, they're in their 50s and 60s now and sitting around talking about, you know, and some of them are definitely like, you know, this is not rap, you know, like it should be like, it's the pure, you know, whatever. But I'm like, I don't know. Like, you could say that about any genre, you know?
It
evolves. Like, it just...
It's true.
Like, I was listening to a podcast actually about the Grand Ole Opry, like, country music, which I'm not a fan of, but they were talking about how, like, the Opry didn't used to allow drums and horns and electric guitars, OAN rock came in and influenced everybody, they had no choice, right? Yeah. Like, you just, times change,
you either,
man.
You either evolve or you fail.
Yeah, you can't hold on to the past forever. Like.
You guys say you're inspired by 90s hip-hop, but your shop is like 50s, 60s yeah. type of vibe.
Yeah.
If you can picture your own shop, like, let's say, like, not just a shop, like a bigger shop, cafe, what would you picture, what would you want to be in it, and like, what kind of vibe would you want?
I mean, I would probably just like definitely do an expansion of what we have now. We've got like the old Formica table, what, you know, like your grandma used to have, you know, like almost like that diner table, but a little bit more homey with patterns and stuff. We'd have a bunch of those. We actually get people, like, we have a little shelf when you come in that we built on some level to kind of keep people behind the counter before we opened the door last July. But we decorated up with all these knickknacks from mid-century and stuff like that. And people are always like, you should sell these, you know?
Yeah.
So I think we'd do a lot of that and just like, our food trailer is very much that too. It looked like a 1960s kitchen. Sarah, somebody threw out the idea the other day of us opening another shop, which is not something we're considering, but like, Sarah was like, ooh, like immediately like, ooh, I get to decorate in another way, you know? So, I mean, it would be fun for sure. But you know, it's not going to happen at this location unless somebody goes out of business on either
baby
side
steps,
of us.
Baby
yeah,
steps.
Yeah, exactly. And we love it here, honestly, like Uptown Waterloo has been awesome.
Yeah.
When we were first looking for a location back before the pandemic, when we thought wholesale would be the most of our business and retail would just be a little tiny bit, we weren't looking for something that had a lot of foot traffic. We were just looking for a production facility, and we thought we'd do retail a little bit here and there.
Yeah.
But we found this place through word of mouth. It was a sublease, which suited us really well because it didn't mean we didn't have to commit for 5 or 10 years. And we've just been so lucky. Like, the landlord is great, number one, but like, Uptown Waterloo, it's nice where we get a decent amount of foot traffic on Regina Street. I never would have thought, like, I would have thought people mostly stuck to King, and they do, like, there's definitely people who definitely just stick to King, but we have a little sign out there to direct people over. But yeah, we get a lot of foot traffic.
Yeah.
People just coming by, like, at least once a day, somebody just pops their head in, and they're like, who are you guys? What are you? You know, because I think we've done a good job of making our shop look cute from the outside.
Yeah.
You know, lots of cool signage and lights and whatever. And people are just like, what is that all about? And they just have to come in and ask. They have no idea what we are. So that's pretty cool, you know?
I could see in the next 2 years, you guys will be a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, I could see. And then, you know, hopefully your future shop has crummy mixed with ice cream and then a coffee.
For sure.
So last segment, this is I'll ask you questions and just come to rapid fire. All right.
Yep.
Doesn't need to be rapid fire, but you know, just makes
sense. I'll try.
Score.
Yep.
Favorite TV show.
I'm gonna say of all time, I'm gonna say Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Favorite movie, either current or of all time.
Haven't watched anything recently, so of all time, I'm gonna go with Romeo and Juliet. Baz Luhrmann and Leo.
Nice. Favorite underrated band or rapper?
I'm gonna skip that one and come back to it.
Yeah. 2021 goals.
2021 goals would be to just work on the projects and finish some of the projects. It's not an exciting answer, but some of the projects we're working on, like understanding our business and what it's gonna look like in a normal year. Because we just don't know, right? Like you're trying to measure things year over year and you're like, is last year normal?
Right.
I don't know,
true,
right?
True.
Yeah.
What does happiness mean to you?
Happiness to me means family and friends. I like a nice balance of both, like being able to spend lots of time with friends, but also lots of time with family. And just being, like, having a rewarding work life in some way. You know, I'm not one to work at a job where I'm miserable. And I've done that. And, you know, I mean, that seems obvious, but just a nice balance of happiness throughout your life, right? I'm not like one thing doesn't make up for the other, you know? So.
Favorite crummy flavor ever?
Cherry Magdalene, chocolate cherry cheesecake.
And favorite underrated band?
Favorite underrated band.
Or song you should get more recognized?
I'm going way back to the 90s.
Go for it.
There's a band in Toronto called Lowest of the Low that never really made it past like the college scene, and they were awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lastly, what's your last song you liked?
Oh, my last song is Sugar Sugar by Baby Bash.
And before we leave, is there anything last you want to pitch? Any last advice, social medias, whatever?
Yeah, just come visit us. So we are at 8 Regina Street North in Uptown Waterloo. We're between Seven Shores Cafe and Absolute Hair Studio and Genus Hair Studio. We deliver up to 50 kilometers from our shop. So if anybody's looking for delivery, we deliver same day. So go to www.crummycookiedoughco.com. And we're on Instagram and Facebook. And yeah, come by and see us. We love telling people all about us when they come in the door. So yeah.
I appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, awesome.
So tight, so fine. You got me lifted. You got me lifted. You got me lifted, shifted higher than the ceiling. And ooh, it's the ultimate feeling. You got me lifted, feeling so gifted. Sugar, how you get so fly? Sugar, 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 sugar, how you get so fly?
We know it's leather when we ride, we're green and raw high. Doing what we do, watching screens, getting high. Girl, you keep it so fly with your sweet honey buns. You was there when the money gone, you be there when the money comes. Off top, I can't lie, I love to get blow. With my little sugar, I'm your little chulo. And every time we kick it, it's all to the groovy. Treat you like my sticky icky or my sweet ooey gooey.
Got me lifted, shifted, higher than the ceiling. And ooey is the ultimate feeling. You got me lifted, feeling so gifted. Sugar, how you get so fly? Sugar, 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 sugar, how you get so fly?
Now I ain't worried about a thing, cause I just hit me a lick. I got a fat sack and a super fly chick. And if that ain't nothing, you could say to a player. Cause doo-wop, she fly like the planes in the air. That's right, she full grown, setting the wrong tone. I'm digging the energy and I'm loving the ozone. So fly like a dove, fly like a raven. Quick to politic with some fly conversation. In a natural mood, and I'm a natural dude. And we some natural fools, blowing out by the pool. She like my sexy cool mama. Blaze on the provider, rocking Doja Cabana, hydro in the guana.
Lifted, shifted, higher than the ceiling. And ooh, it's the ultimate feeling. You got me lifted, feeling so gifted. Sugar, how you get so fly? Sugar, 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 sugar, how you get so fly?
You know it's better when we ride, we're green and raw high. What we do, watching screens, getting high. Girl, you keep it so fly with your sweet honey buns. You was there when the money gone, you be there when the money come. You know it's leather when we ride, wood grain and raw hide. Doing what we do, watching screens, getting high. Girl, you keep it so fly with your sweet honey buns. You was there when the money gone, you be there when the money comes. For real, though.
Got me lifted, shifted, higher than the ceiling. And ooh, it's the ultimate feeling. You got me lifted, feeling so gifted. Sugar, how you get so fly? Sugar, 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 sugar, how you get so fly?
So high like I'm a star. So high like I'm a star. So high like I'm a star. So high like I'm a star.
You really need to check out the Crummy Cookie Dough Company. They're in Uptown Waterloo, but you can get their stuff on DoorDash, Skip the Dishes, Uber Eats, and through their website at the Crummy, that's C-R-U-M-B-Y, cookiedoughco.com. What are they? Well, it's funny you ask. They're raw cookie dough company. You could eat them raw, or you could cook them. But it's always responsible ingredients you recognize and respect. Run by two powerful women that just love the feel of 1960s vintage and 90s hip hop is totally awesome. So cool. So go check them out. Wonderful women, and you'll love it just as much
as I love it too.
Was hoping no one noticed, 'cause I was left wide open. You walked right up and stole it, and Lord, I should have known it. It's over now, you see. Keep pulling at my seams. Fuck you in the horse you rode in. I'm down on my left, but I never really had none. I'll soften up the blow. It only goes to show useless to try. I'm broke, this life I'm barely holding. It's over now, you see. Keep pulling at my seams. Forget you and the horse you rode in. I'm down on my luck, but I never really had none. I'm solving all the blow. It only goes to show useless to try.